How many of you know that God has a blessing in store for you so that when you walk out that door, you will be ready, equipped, qualified to do what God has called you to do? Amen?
Amen.
And some of you, even today, this word that we want to bring to you is a word specifically designed with you in mind. And so we want to welcome you to Blessed Hope Bible Church. Welcome to our church. We're here for the purpose of edifying the body of Christ and proclaiming the good news of Jesus. Our prayer is that you will be strengthened in your walk as you listen to our message today. Those of you who are listening online at bhbcstl.org, we welcome you as well. And please feel free to download this message and share it with those you meet. We're continuing our series entitled Heart to Heart Evangelism. Heart to Heart Evangelism. And the purpose of this series is threefold. Number one, to inspire you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number two, to equip you with an effective strategy for doing evangelism. And number three, we want to give you the confidence and enthusiasm to approach others with a life-changing message of Jesus Christ. And if anybody needs to hear the message of Jesus Christ, it is right here in our community. Amen. You don't have to go to Africa. You don't have to go to Asia. You don't have to go to Latin America. And I know you've seen the commercials with the little children on TV and they're starving and they're wearing tattered clothing. Listen, you do not have to go there. Just look around the corner. Look up the street. Look at your neighbor. Look at your cousin. You got a mission field right in front of your eyes. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to leave the country and get a passport and get all kinds of shots and go anywhere. You can go next door. Amen?
Amen.
That's your mission field. And our goal is to help you to complete the mission that God has ordained for your life. That's why we're here today, folks, to give you the tools that you need to approach others with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. And as I was preparing this message and looking at the relevancy of why we need to do evangelism, the other evening I learned after listening to a news broadcast that homicide is the number one cause of death among African American youth. Not cancer, not HIV, not war, not any of these other incurable diseases. The number one killer of African Americans are African Americans. It is the most preventable form of death, homicide, in the world, and it is the number one cause of death of African Americans between the ages of 13 and 24 years old. We need to do some heart-to-heart evangelism. We need to do some evangelism. We need to tell people about Jesus. And here's the thing. Evangelism has become a dirty word in the church. It's awkward to us. It doesn't appeal to us because we don't want to ruffle feathers and make people uncomfortable. But you know what? That's not even evangelism. God did not say go into all the earth and make people feel lousy.
No. Amen.
He didn't tell you to go into all the earth and make them feel uncomfortable. He said go into all the earth and tell them that I died for them, that I was buried, that I rose from the dead, and I love them. And evangelism, especially heart-to-heart evangelism, is the kind of evangelism that comes naturally. It flows out of your life. Amen? And that's what we want to help you do, to get the kind of evangelism in you that will flow out of you. And it is based on this premise. It is involved in engaging people with the gospel at the place of their need. It's not about telling them, honey, you should come to my church. It's, you should come to Jesus. It is meeting them at the place of their need. If you want to go across the street to church, that's fine with me. If you want to go up the street to church, that's fine with me. Just know Jesus. That's the goal. I'm not trying to sell blue seats here at Blessed Hope. I'm trying to make sure that people hear the gospel and that everybody who is a part of this church goes out of this church to tell people about Christ. Amen. Now, there's a story in the life of Jesus, and for me, it's one of my favorite. And it involves his encounter with a woman who comes to a well to draw water. How many of you heard of that story?
Amen.
And what we're going to do is look at the dialogue between Jesus and this woman and see if there are some principles in that discussion that will help us in understanding what it means to do heart-to-heart evangelism. So join me in the Word of God, John chapter 4, verses 7 through 15. John chapter 4, verses 7 through 15. And let me just say this to you. This passage, this fourth chapter of John, has about 15 sermons in it. Okay? We're going to preach one. So don't read way ahead. Don't read before. Listen, just stay with the verses, because if you don't, we're going to get into all about her husbands. We don't want to do that today. We're going to show you how to approach the woman in the first place. That's what we want to do today. If we do that, that'll be enough. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So John chapter 4, verses 7 through 15. Everybody has it. No movement in the building at this time as we read. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst." Let me read that again for you. "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." We're going to talk about how to lead thirsty people to living water. How do you lead thirsty people to living water? Now, this question that we're considering this morning has to be dealt with in a very simple context in terms of how we approach our society and especially the community in which our church is situated in. Number one, we have to understand this very, very basic idea that everyone in the world has a thirst that cannot be quenched by this world's good. Let me say that again. When you are doing evangelism and trying to lead somebody else to church or to Jesus, rather, understand that everybody in the world, I don't care if they're an entertainer, I don't care if they're an athlete, I don't care whatever it is that they may do that makes them famous and successful, everybody has a thirst in the depths of their heart that cannot be filled by anything that this world has to offer. The only one who can quench or satisfy them is Jesus Christ. He is the only one. And we're living in a world of thirsty people. Amen?
Amen?
And there are those who try to quench their thirst through drugs, alcohol, illicit behavior in relationships, and all other kinds of stuff that they have going on, all kinds of addictions and obsessions and things of this nature. They try to fill a void that only Jesus can fill. So when you go out into the world, understand you're meeting people who've got a thirst that can't be quenched by nothing this world offers. That's the idea that you take with you when you approach people. Understand, everybody's thirsty. Let me say it again. Everybody's thirsty. You say, "Pastor, no, I'm not sure." Be sure. Everybody's thirsty. Not everybody's broke, but everybody's thirsty. Everybody's not sick, but everybody's thirsty. Everybody's not unemployed, but everybody's thirsty. And I don't care how much you get in this world, you're going to still be thirsty. How do I know? Well, my friend Rick Jagger puts it this way: I can't get no satisfaction. Now, and it's either Mick, or I believe it's Mick Jagger. Don't want to call his name wrong. Mick Jagger, the Rolling Stones. I can't get, now if he can't get no satisfaction, it must be true. But that's because there's nothing in the world that can fill the void in your life but the love of Jesus Christ. And you and I have the responsibility of taking that message to a thirsty world. Well, what is the world thirsty for since the world is so thirsty? Well, these are my top 10 things that I believe the world is thirsty for. Number one, hope. The world is thirsty for hope. Meaning, significance. The world is thirsty for meaning. What does life mean? What does my life and purpose mean? Security. Now more than ever, as we live in an age of terrorism, security. The world is thirsty for that. Life, love, joy, peace, truth, deliverance, and healing. The world is thirsty for all of these things, and you could even add your own things to that list. But we're living in a thirsty world, and this is what I want you to understand. There's no conference of leaders that can quench this thirst. You can have a G8 summit, a G10 summit, a G50 summit. And I'm not trying to diminish our leaders coming together. What I'm saying is this, that the world cannot do for man what God can do. That's what I'm saying. And it's great to come together and try to find out what the solution to the problems of the world is. But you know what? The problem of the world is sin. And the answer to sin is Christ. And if we get that straight, the world will take care of itself. And that's why we preach. That's why we witness. That's why we share. That's why we tell people about Jesus. People, when they come to Blessed Hope, they're not burdens. They're not trouble. They're gifts from God. Everybody who walks in this church, and we don't care if you're a member or not a member. We don't care where you have come from. If you are broken, I know somebody who can heal you. And I'm not talking about healing you sometime in the future. I don't want to pat you on the back and give you a bag of food and tell you good luck. I want you to know there are answers today. Real answers. And I'm talking about solutions to situations, not merely just giving you cliches that sound right, that'll make you feel better. And you say, I met with the pastor and he made me feel good. I want you to walk out with a determination that your life will be different tomorrow than it is today. And that's what the gospel does. It's not about marketing gimmicks and nice sounding phrases and sound bites. It's about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what we preach. I don't preach prosperity. I don't preach that you shouldn't be sick. If you eat wrong, you should be sick. I don't get into all of that. I'm not here to give you a job that I don't have. I'm here to give you life and life more abundantly through the shed blood of the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ. And if you're thirsty, we got a well for you, full of water for you to drink. Amen? Well, there are three principles I want to share with you concerning heart-to-heart evangelism and how to do it. I'm going to give you three things that you can do to be an effective witness for Christ using the story of Jesus and this woman at the well. Here are the three principles I want you to consider. And Deacon Wesley, we're going to put this on the internet. This entire transcript of today's sermon will be at bhbcstl.org. So if you're not able to take notes, don't worry about it. The whole entire sermon, audio and in print, will be on the internet tomorrow. Amen. There are three things you can do. Number one, identify your woman at the well. That's number one. Identify the woman at the well in your life. I'm going to get into that in just a minute. Identify your woman at the well. Number two, be open about your own thirst. Be open about your own thirst. And number three, compare the water of this world with the water that Christ offers. Compare the water of this well with the water that Christ offers. Let me ask you this question. Would you know a person who fits the profile of the woman at the well if she came and stood right in front of your face? Would you know her if you saw her? What would she look like? What would her life be like? Let me give you some idea. The woman at the well is an individual who has sought to do everything on her own, trying to get the world's good, trying to satisfy her soul by all kinds of things that they have tried to do and have come up empty. Now they're frustrated, filled with regret. They're angry about their life, and they're open to change. That's the woman at the well. In other words, I'm asking you to find somebody who's tired of their life. That's the woman at the well. She was somebody who was tired of all the unkept promises by people that were in her life. She was tired of poor choices that she had made. She was tired about all the kinds of things that were going on. Her life was filled with regret and remorse about her situation, and she wanted some change. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that there are a lot of people walking around today who fit the profile of the woman at the well. And if we do not reach them, the dope man will. The strip club will. The casino will. And all these other so-called religions that aren't about nothing but keeping pocket money, they will. We've got to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And more concerning to me than all of that is that the devil will reach them and they'll snap. And we'll read about them in the news and we'll say to ourselves, oh boy, that person must be crazy. They probably were. But nobody talked to them. Nobody wanted to be bothered with them. Nobody wanted to burden themselves with their problems. And now when they're on the news, we talk about, oh, where is the world headed? Let me tell you something. You need to understand that you and I are agents of change and transformation. We need to keep those articles from hitting the morning news by preaching Jesus to them. At Blessed Hope Bible Church, the crackhead is just as welcome as the celebrity. Bring your crack habit and your two-day-old clothes and your sleepless night. Bring it right through this door. Ain't nobody gonna tell you you don't belong. You're drunk. You had an abortion. You've been divorced at least twice. You lost count. You're welcome right here. God's been looking for you, and we welcome you. Because Jesus came to save the lost, to call sinners to repentance, not the so-called righteous. There are a lot of folk who think they're righteous, but how many of you know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Hallelujah. How many of you know a woman at the well in your life? Somebody who fits that profile. And if it's you, just point to yourself. Amen. Don't be ashamed. If you know somebody who fits that profile, that's the person you need to be witnessing to tomorrow. That's the person who needs their life changed. That's the person who is on the verge of snapping. And you need to reach out to them. You say, Pastor, what do I say? Tell them that Jesus loves them. Start with that. And tell them he has the power to change their life. Amen. As you approach them, be open about your own thirst. Don't be so sanctimonious and self-righteous when you're approaching people who you know are going through and they don't know what to do with their lives, they're messed up. This is not the time. This is one of the things that I definitely do not do in my life. If I tell someone something, they reject it and they mess up their life, don't tell them I told you so. Give them a second chance. Because our God has more chances than we have failures. And we ought to be treating other people that way. If your child fails, pick them up. Don't let the world pick them up. You pick them up. If somebody falls, they should fall in your arms, the arms of the church. And let them know that you have fallen a time or two. Jesus says to the woman, I'm thirsty. Give me a drink. Now, Jesus did not need this woman to give him a drink. He could have called forth the angels and said, I'm thirsty. Make me another well. He could have spoke to heaven and said, rain only on me and quench my thirst. So Jesus did not need the woman to do anything for him, but by engaging her at the place where she was, he was able to open the door of opportunity to preach new life to her. Listen, saints, you've got to be able to be reachable, teachable, and connectable. People have got to believe that you are human and not just Christian. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You so toxic and uptight with your big old large print Bible in your hand, headed to Sunday school with 15 other folk. World going to hell in a handbasket. But oh, at least I'm not like so-and-so. No, you're like the Pharisee in the book of Luke, chapter 18. Lord, I thank you that I'm in church and I'm not like that crackhead on the street I just passed up. Oh, I thank you. I ain't like that prostitute. I ain't in the clubs no more. But for the grace of God, you could be there tomorrow. There's only one thing that's holding you back from messing up your life. Jesus. And you are no better than anybody else. And people need to be able to connect with you on every level, no matter where they have been. You have to be somebody who is touchable, somebody who is reachable, somebody who anyone can come to and say, I got a problem, and you're right there. And don't be ready to take the Bible and throw it at them. Love them with the love of Jesus. Amen. Love them with the love of Jesus. You say, Pastor, it's as if you're putting the Bible down. I'm not putting the Bible down. I'm putting the Bible in its proper context. Don't tell me what I need to know. Show me that you care about me first. Then we can talk about what I need. Amen? Jesus didn't throw the book at this woman. He built a relationship with her. Give me a drink. And then through that, built a relationship. Then they started talking about the Father and worship in spirit and in truth. But he didn't open up with that. But see, some of us think that if we take our Bible with us, it's like some kind of magic wand that people are just going to fall in love with Jesus. And what they need to do is fall in love with you. If I don't like you, I ain't going to your church. You a coworker and I can't stand you, and you handing out flyers about a picnic to the church. Are you going to be there? Then I'm not coming. And if there's a bunch of folk and you're abrasive and coercive and you have this type of stingy spirit in which people are afraid of you, that's not a witnessing evangelistic spirit. You can't win nobody to Jesus like that, being right all the time. Sometimes it's good to be wrong. Sometimes it's good to let the sinner win an argument or two. In this passage, as you read through this chapter, Jesus never told the woman she was wrong. He just guided her into a solution to her problem. As Christians, we've got to understand it is okay to be transparent and frail before sinners because it means being real. Guess why? Because you are transparent. You are frail. You are weak. Amen? Amen? We're nothing without Jesus. And it's okay to reveal that to other people. It's okay. Well, I don't want people to know I'm an ex-con. Why? Doesn't ex come before con? You did say X, right? Then it's all right. I don't want people to know I've been through a divorce, but you've been through it. And you came out. See, that's called a testimony. We call it a shame or a blemish on our record. God is done with me. I did this. I did that. I did that. Are you breathing? Yes, he's not done. Now, when you stop breathing, he's done. Well, I just don't get it. It's not for you to get. It's for you to know that Jesus has a plan and a purpose for his church. That is to make disciples. And one of the key ways to do it is to connect with folk. And you cannot be so biblically literate and so biblically uptight so that, oh, well, we're going to talk about tongues and we're going to talk about Jesus' name and we're going to talk about whether to be baptized this and baptized that. Don't you know the Bible already dealt with that in 1 Corinthians? You in the workplace and you and another Christian arguing over whether or not we should be on the Sabbath or on Sunday. And there's all these sinners listening, looking at you. If I'm a sinner, I'm going to stay a sinner. I don't want none of that. I don't want to hear none of that. Well, you know, so-and-so speaks in tongues. That's why I don't really like to have no Bible study with them. And the sinner hears it. That's a mess. I can't believe that with all the hell going on in the world, Christians can let something as simple as tongues separate us. Why would you do that? Somebody speaks in tongues, they're going to pray for you. We have to understand, this is what I'm getting at is this. The Bible teaches a very simple principle that I hope you'll get. I just want you to get this, and I'm trying to equip you. Love covers a multitude of faults. We may do things different, but we don't want to take our dirty, filthy laundry and take it to the post office or to St. Louis Community College or Afro World or Wachovia Securities, now Wells Fargo. And or to the new re-emerged General Motors and be having biblical arguments in front of sinners. Meet with your apostolic brother, your Catholic brother, and the other brother who of the church of something that I don't even know how all the names are pronounced, your Kojic brother, if you will. And do this. Let's work together to win sinners. If they go to your church, cool. They go to my church, fine. We just want them to go to heaven. Get them in the kingdom first. We'll do church in a minute. Jesus did not preach religion to this woman. He preached deliverance. And that's the message the church needs to be preaching. Not doctrine, deliverance. Amen. Not doctrine, deliverance. Well, that doesn't sound like doctrines. Honey, doctrine is your deliverance. Or deliverance is your doctrine, rather. Deliverance is your doctrine. Y'all don't get that, do you? Without deliverance, there is no doctrine. Deliverance comes first. What I love to tell people is this. I don't have all the answers. And I know what it's like to make big mistakes with your life. And you know what? I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth. And sometimes as I speak to people throughout the week, I have to hold it together as I look back on the mess that I made in my own life, trying to witness to them. And I think about the stuff I've done. But it's to let them know you're not dealing with someone who's better than you. You didn't come into a church where you have to live up to its standards. You came into a place that's not a hospital where everybody's sick. You came into a cure center where you come in sick and you leave well. And the healer is not the pastor, it's Jesus. A hospital is a place that doesn't care how long you stay sick. We'll treat you. We're not that. We're a place we want you to be whole because our Savior is able to heal your disease. Hallelujah. Lastly, compare the water of this world with that Christ has to offer. By contrasting the limitations of the well water with the living water that he offered, Christ entered into a whole new dimension in speaking with her. He says to her, if you'll read there in verse 13, I believe it says, Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. Talking about the water from Jacob's well that she thought was a big old deal. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. This woman had been going to this well every single day. Her life was a mess. How do I know that? She had been through 5 marriages and was working on her 6th. And every day, her life was symbolized by coming to this well to get water, coming to the well to get water, coming to the well to get water. In other words, there was no change in her life. Some of you know what I'm talking about today when your life is just in a ho-hum, hum-drum type of situation. It's the same old, same old. Listen, Jesus died for the same old, same old. To deliver and set you free from it. This woman had no options. Just come into the water, to the well, get water. Come to the well, get water. Come to the well, get water. Come to the well. Guess who's at the well today? Jesus is at the well. And that's what made all the difference. And Jesus says, this water that you are working so hard to get for your frustrating life, you're going to be back tomorrow. But if you try me, you'll never thirst again. If you trust me, you'll never, ever, ever want the things of this world. Jesus contrasts the water that the woman wanted with the water that he had to offer. There are people around you and me who are working overtime to be unhappy. They're working overtime on their unhappy marriage, working overtime on their unhappy job, working overtime on their unhappy family. They working, 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 working to be unhappy. And they're just grateful to be unhappy. Well, I'm not dead. You know what? That's not living, my friend. If all you can say is, well, life is this, but I'm not dead. That's not my testimony. I'm going to be happy today and forever. I don't want my testimony to be, well, at least I'm not 6 feet under, but I got to ache and I got to, that's not even living. That's not living. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I don't think that's just a spiritual element there. I think there's a natural element as well. I don't think I've got to get to heaven to have some joy down here. I think I can have some joy right here today. In fact, I call it joy unspeakable and full of glory. I don't need to wait to get to heaven to have some joy down here. Well, I'm back at the well. I'm back. I don't want to live like that. I think Jesus got more for me. And I think he's got more for you. I think he's got more for you. And here's the thing, folks. We work so hard. And having been on a vacation or two, we go on vacation and need a vacation from our vacation. How many of you been on vacation and you get back from vacation and you're tired? We think that if we get more and more of this world, we'll be happy. But you know what I found out? That a man can gain the whole world, lose his soul. And there's nothing you and I can give in exchange for our souls. You can get all of this world and say, well, if I just had a few more dollars, if my tax return was bigger, if this happened for me, oh, I wish I had a car like so-and-so. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. Oh, we see this entertainer on TV. We didn't know they were taking up to 40 pills a night just to go to bed. See, everything looks good on the outside, and I have to give it to the world. The world knows how to advertise its own. The world knows how to make itself look good and cover up all the mess that goes on behind the scenes. You driving by the casino, big old light and all of this, but what you don't see is the woman on the verge of killing herself because she spent the mortgage money. See, the world covered that part up. What I'm trying to tell you is this, beloved, this world cannot give you the joy that you seek. The only person who can give you that joy is Jesus. And if you're talking to somebody who fits the profile of the woman at the well, one of the ways to contrast the water of this world with the water that Jesus offers is through the use of opposites. Let me give you some examples. The world offers sadness. Christ offers joy. The world offers defeat, but Christ offers victory. The world offers despair, but Christ offers hope. The world offers bondage. I can speak to that. But Christ offers deliverance. The world offers brokenness. Christ offers healing. The world offers guilt. Any guilty folk today? Christ offers forgiveness. The world offers bitterness, and Christ offers love. Christ will trade you your broken life for healing. And you don't have to work for it. Put your water pot down. Because he's not going to take you to a well. He's going to make you a well. The Bible says that the water that I will give him will become a well springing in their life, giving them eternal life. God doesn't want you to go to a well. He wants to make you one. That's the God that I serve. You thirsty? Not only will he give you a drink, he will give you the power to be a source of satisfaction to those who are just as thirsty as you are. You become the well that you seek when the hand of God touches your life. You say, well, Pastor, what do I need to do? You need to be available, number one. Find the woman at the well in your life who could be a man as well. And put your arms around them and let them know there are answers. Real life answers. And don't be afraid. What I do with people when I'm witnessing to them, I go right here. This means in the face. I want you to see me and I'm going to see you because I don't have a lie to tell you. When I tell you that if we pray, your life will change, I'm not lying to you. And if you're as serious as I am about changing your life, you will change. Amen. And I say to him, give it to me right here. Don't look around. Give it to me right here. I don't care if there's tears in your eyes. Look at me in the face. I'm telling you, Jesus will fix you today. And I'm not selling a used car. I'm telling you what's real. He did it for me. He's done it for you. He's done it for you. And he'll do it for anybody else. How do I know? Because the Bible says, if any man come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter whether you're white or black, Jewish or non-Jewish, whether you're Catholic or Protestant or any of this other foolishness, all these ethnicities and divisions we like to look at. If you want Christ, he wants you more. He's waiting on you to bring him every problem you have, and then he'll take the ones you don't know you have and take those as well. Well, I want to give him this, and you've got more than that, but that's okay. You don't know about those. He'll take those as well. And he'll give you everlasting life. How many of you believe that today? Give them a hand praise, everybody. Hallelujah.